Hi, this is Miss Melis, the Bathtub Mermaid, and you're listening to Tales from the Tub. Welcome to day 4 of the Dog Days of Podcasting for 2017. This show, I again have a pinch hitter doing the bulk of the recording for me. The story is Whispers and Some Kind of Understanding, and I wrote it last October. When I was writing it, I realized it really needed to have a southern voice if it was ever going to be recorded. And I asked my friend Deborah, who is a native Texan, and I think has a really lovely voice, if she would do it, because when I was writing it, I sort of heard it in her voice. So this is my friend Deborah Smouse reading my story.
Whispers and Some Kind of Understanding, read by Deborah Smouse. I've never seen ghosts, exactly, but I've heard their whispers for as long as I can remember, maybe even longer than that. When I was a little girl, I thought it was normal for my imaginary friends to introduce themselves by name and have real conversations with me. Mama would listen to me prattling on about Audrey from Maine, who lived in a lighthouse with her father, and thought the foghorns were singing for her. Or Joshua from Florida, who warned me never to let my poodle outside alone when the hawks were in the sky. "He said his neighbor's dog was taken by a real-life gator," I exclaimed as I climbed into the front seat of our ancient Dodge. Mama hated that car, but I loved the way it smelled, like summer inside. Probably because we never got all the beach sand out of the ridges in the seat. And Gazelle said we have to put lots and lots of sunscreen on when we go down to the shore because our skin is an organ too. An alligator? Really? Where do you come up with these things? But Mama never believed me when I told her that my invisible friends told me these things. She'd just tug on one of my braids and tell me I was lucky to have such a vivid imagination. And maybe I'd be a writer someday. The whispers faded as I got older. I guess the more you know about the real world, the harder it is to hear the voices that emanate from your not-quite-so-real. It's kind of like that Peter Pan thing. You got old enough, and you stop believing in magic and fairies, and friends you can't talk to but see. Oh, they still managed to grab my attention when it was important, though. Joshua, he's the one who warned me that Paul Sanchez wasn't as sweet as he wanted me to think. Paul, now he was the second hottest boy in the junior class, and when I was a sophomore, I was so excited when he asked me out. We saw a movie and got drive-in through burgers and fries and went to the cliff over the ocean, and I knew he was going to kiss me, and I couldn't wait to find out what all the fuss was about. But he tasted like stale soda and cigarettes. And after we kissed a couple of times, he slid his hand up under my shirt and started to push me backwards on the bench seat of his daddy's old Ford pickup. And when I told him to stop, he refused. Joshua was there, though. He told me to lift my knee at exactly the right time. And then he whispered into Paul's ear. And Paul apologized and took me straight home. After that, Paul, he never talked to me again. But sometimes, when we were both in the quad during lunch, he'd look at me funny. Like maybe I was touched. Or else he was. Of all my ghost friends, Joshua was the oldest. He'd been 23 when he passed, he said. He'd been studying marine biology at Florida State. And he'd been stupid. And gone on a bender the night before on a boat trip. He didn't remember the details of his dying. Or he never shared them with me anyway. But he made me promise that if I was ever going to get super drunk, I'd do it in the safety of my own space. And not ever go driving or sailing after. And it was an easy promise to make. Booze and weed only ever loosened my tongue to the point that I'd forget that not everyone was as gentle and kind as my mama about the stories that got whispered to me. When I was 20, my third year at Bennington, working on a self-designed course of study involving folklore and fantasy and creative writing, it finally clicked in my head that Joshua had kind of a crush on me, and I knew I had to send him away. I'd done that for Audrey when I'd turned 10 and she couldn't follow. And I'd done it for Gazelle when I turned 14 and realized that I liked boys. She didn't. And I missed them fiercely. Especially when I was alone at night in my chilly dorm room. I hadn't made any friends yet. But Joshua, he was the boy I wished I could kiss. Kind of like Christina Ricci did in that Casper movie when Casper made himself solid for her. Except Josh could never be solid. And then I met Aurelio. Aurelio, he was the son of the ambassador from Spain. And he was made of sweetness and sex appeal, both inside and out. He wrote poetry and played guitar. He had this thick, curly hair that just begged to be finger-combed. And he'd let me do that with my fingers. He had soulful blue eyes. And this accent that was kind of like Mexican-Spanish mixed with French. And when he kissed me, felt like I was coming home. Joshua was jealous of Aurelio. Joshua said I was too young for a serious relationship, and I'd end up being hurt. And why was I not listening to him? Joshua started whispering to me about girls Aurelio was hooking up with behind my back. I could tell he was making it up, because I'd known his voice since I was a little girl, or longer, and I knew what lying sounded like. Finally, I locked myself in the bathroom, and I ran the shower at full pressure. I called Joshua to come and talk to me. He'd never been there when I was naked before, and he whispered that I should not let my boyfriend know about him, or I'd have to kill him. And that's when I told him to go. "You have always been my friend," I told him. "Kept me safe when I needed a guardian. And you nudge me to write and explore, and you save me from being lonely during my darkest time. But I'm a grown woman now, and there's a reason my people my age don't have imaginary friends anymore." He yelled at me, and he made my Gillette Swirl razor pop its suction cups and fall off the shower. And he ran his chilly, ethereal hands over my bare skin, and I forced myself not to react to any of it. "I'm going to step in the shower now," I told him, when I'd had enough. "And then by the time I'm finished, you need to cross over. You've done your duty by me, Joshua." He didn't have any choice but to agree. Aurelio arrived home just as I was wrapping my hair in one towel and the rest of me in another. He had a bag of Chinese food from that place that made the good kind of pot stickers. And he stopped at the flower stall in the corner and picked up a bouquet of purple carnations that smelled like innocence and cloves. We sat on his second-hand oriental rug in front of my ratty eggplant-colored couch and peeked out on mushu pork and while we watched The Artist. And then he took me to bed. We satisfied a whole different kind of appetite. And afterward, pulled his guitar into bed with us and leaned against the leather headboard, strummed lightly as he recited his latest poems to me. In between stanzas, he told me nonchalantly, "It's nice to be alone with you finally." "What do you mean?" I asked. "Joshua and Bianca finally moved on," he said, as if I'd known he'd had a whispering friend too. As if people talk about their imaginary friends every day. And who knows? Maybe they do. Whispers in Some Kind of Understanding was inspired by Selena Taylor and the song Whispers in Some Kind of Understanding by Ghostlight.
Bathtub Mermaid, Tales from the Tub is written by Melissa A. Bartell under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike International 4.0 license and is produced using Bostock and Audacity. For show notes, music credits, and transcripts, please visit www.bathtubmermaid.com. You can contact me on Twitter or Instagram at Melisse, M-E-L-Y-S-S-E, or you can send an email to Miss Melisse, M-I-S-S-M-E-L-Y-S-S-E, @gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, never let your bathwater get too cold.